We're going to get into the Word tonight, and you can take your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And I've entitled tonight's teaching, "The Solution is Prayer." The solution is prayer. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, the senses man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, so in this verse, we can see the two realms, right? The two realms that we've learned about, that there's a natural realm, a senses realm, a physical realm, and then there's the spiritual realm, right? And the natural man doesn't get the spiritual realm. It's foolishness unto him. But the spiritual realm is greater than the physical, right? The spiritual realm is greater than the physical. The physical realm exists because of the spiritual, right? It's the physical realm is basically a realm of spiritual consequences, right? Why does the physical universe exist? Because God, who is the Spirit, created it, right? Why did the waters of the Red Sea part? Because God caused it to happen, right? Why was the man named Legion, who was possessed with all the devils, able to break the chains and the fetters that bound him? Because he had devil spirits that gave him that supernatural strength, right? So things that happen in the physical realm are a result of the spiritual, right? They're the result of the spiritual. So the spiritual realm is the greater, and it's a realm of truth, whereas the physical realm is a realm of facts. And that's kind of funny to think about, but facts can change based on the truth of the spiritual realm, right? Like, it's a fact that water fills a container and sits there until God parts the Red Sea, right? And that's the greater truth, the greater reality. So the spiritual realm is truly the realm of truth. And the true answers that we need in this physical realm lie with God, who is Spirit. He's the Spirit. And we can access those answers and those solutions in one of three different ways. Okay? We can access them by His Word. We can access them by the manifestations of the Spirit, right? God can show us stuff via the revelation manifestations, and via prayer, right? And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is prayer, right? That the solutions come from praying. So go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. So when we're looking for a solution in life, the first thing that we have to recognize is that the best solutions come from God, right? It's a spiritual thing, right? If we want solutions to what we're dealing with in this physical realm, the best ones come from God. And we can access those. One of the ways we can access those is by prayer. And in Matthew 6, 9, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we know this section of the word is often recited in churches and stuff like that. And that's not what Jesus Christ was trying to teach them, was here is something you can say every day as your prayer. He was giving them an example. And one of the things that we should know is that in this example that he's giving to people, it starts off with an attitude of reverence and respect for God, right? The first thing he says is he addresses God to let him know he's talking to him. And he says, "Hallowed be thy name," right? He's giving God his praise, his reverence, his respect, right? There is no formula for prayer. There's no specific set of words you're supposed to use each time, right? But our heart is what's important to God, right? It says that God looks on our heart. So when we go to God and we pray, we want to, you know, have a sense of humility and praise when we're going to God, right? That reverence and respect that Jesus Christ showed here is a model for us, right? We want to go to God with a humble heart. We want to go to God and say, hey, God, I know you're awesome. You're so cool. Thanks for all you do for me, right? That's one of the things that we can do when we pray. Prayer is literally talking with God, right? Sharing our heart with him. That's what it is. It's talking with God and sharing your heart. And so your heart matters. And in this example, Jesus Christ has, you know, that's his heart, to go to God with a humble heart. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right? So when we pray, it can be for, number one, to know God's will regarding a certain situation, regarding a certain subject. You know, we can ask God, what would you have me to do here? What's the best course of action? And we can pray that his will gets carried out, right? Just like Jesus Christ did here, right? So when we pray, we can ask God to show us what's going to be best here. What would you like me to do, right? And we can ask him how to get that done, how to carry it out, right? So if we are looking for answers and solutions, then we need wisdom, right? We need God to show us how to do that. And part of that wisdom is understanding God's will and carrying it out, right? What would you like me to do? Okay, I will do it. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Right? So those are two key things in that example that Jesus Christ did. He paid reverence and respect to God, and then he wanted to see God's will done. He wanted to know, what does God want me to do? And he carried it out. So we're going to look at some examples in the Word of God where prayer was the solution, right? Where prayer was the solution. In John 11, verse 1, it says, Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou hatest is sick. Some random stranger that we know is sick. Yeah. No. It was a person that Jesus Christ loved. It was a person that Jesus Christ had a relationship with, right? This was somebody who was close to Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ loved everybody, okay? He loved everybody. But this was a man who he had a real relationship with, right? And he was sick. So they let him know. They said, hey, our brother's sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Well, that's quite a claim, right? That's not something one usually says when someone tells you they're sick, right? So Jesus Christ must have been, you know, talking it over with the Father. He must have been walking with God. Because you don't just say that unless God lets you know that that's what's going on. So he says that. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Something cool is going to happen. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It is established. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he ran over there immediately to take care of him. Because he loved him so much. It's not what he did. Right? And that's a big deal, because the only reason that Jesus Christ would stay where he is, right, it says he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And the only reason he would do that is because that's what God wanted him to do. Right? Did Jesus love Lazarus? He sure did. It says so twice. Had Jesus healed people before? Did they know that Jesus Christ could heal Lazarus? Of course they did. That's why they asked him to. But Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. He always did what God told him to do. And in this case, he waited 2 more days. Go to verse 39. So between that verse and verse 39, Lazarus dies. And Mary and Martha are very upset. And they ask him, how could this happen? You know, you've healed blind men. How could this guy die? Yada, yada. So he's walking into, obviously, a very emotional situation. But verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Right? This is the stone covering the sepulcher where Lazarus had been laid. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's got to be smelling pretty awful because he's been in there for 4 days. For he hath been dead 4 days. Right? So he's like, you know, the corpse is decomposing. Like, let's not pull this stone away. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. Jesus lifted up his eyes and he talked to God. What is talking to God? Prayer. Okay, so he prayed. He prayed. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. All right, so he's like, I'm basically doing this for show so that everyone around knows that you and I are having a conversation and that we're going to do something cool here. Because he already talked it over with God. God already told him what was going to happen. He already told him to wait 2 days. He already told him that this death wasn't unto death, or the sickness wasn't unto death, but to glorify God. So Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen. But he says what he says. And verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did what? Believed on him. They believed. And God got the glory, right? And God got the glory. Jesus and God had been talking the whole time. Right? They had already talked it over. Right? And that's the prayer. Right? That's when God can work. When we're talking it over with God. The solution here was prayer. To talk it over with God. Here was Lazarus who was sick and eventually died. And the only solution to that one is prayer. Okay? Is a miracle. Right? The facts aren't good. The facts here were terrible. If you roll away that stone, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. He's rotting. But the truth was that God could raise him from the dead. And that's what they did. That's what happened. Go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17, verse 1. Right? So that's the solution. And it came by prayer. Jesus Christ talked it over with God. And he did what God wanted him to do. Sometimes we think and try to come up with a solution, right? What's our instinct? This man is sick. Let me go do something. Let me minister to him. Let me heal him. What does God want you to do? Right? What does God want you to do? That's the question we should be asking. God, what do you want me to do? Thy will be done as it is in heaven. Right? What do you want me to do? Exodus 17, verse 1. Because most of the time, what he wants you to do isn't what you think you should do, right? It's not the logical thing, which we'll see. Exodus 17, 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. No water. Wherefore the people did chide. They murmured, they complained to Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." But wandering in the wilderness, were thirsty. And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Why are you arguing with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that has brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Why did he take us out of Egypt just to have us die in the wilderness of thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to what? Stone me. They're ready to kill me, God." What's he doing? He's praying. He's talking it over with God. Right? He's talking it over with God. That's prayer. What do you want me to do, God? We need some water. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river," the one that you used to smote the river before, "take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Right? So he asked God for help. What's the solution? How do I handle this? And God gives him the answer. Go take your rod, smack this rock, water will come out. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that I've ever encountered rocks that when I smacked them open, water came gushing out of them, let alone enough water to feed millions of people. That's a lot of water. If you ever stop to think about the amount of water that must have come out of that rock to quench the thirst of that many people, it has to be like swimming pools and swimming pools full of water, right? That's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. But the people complained, and Moses prayed, right? The people complained, but Moses prayed. Why complain when you can pray? Why complain when you can pray? Why not seek the best solution first, right? A lot of times we try to come up with a solution. We say, okay, this is probably what God wants me to do, or this, if I go over to this jug and maybe the water will just keep coming out. Like, we have our own ideas about how it could work, when we should just ask God, what do you want me to do? Right? Our first response should be prayer. Ask God what he'd have me to do. Right? Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6 verse 13. One of the great keys to success in life, in walking a spiritual life, is not our ability, but our humility, right? We don't have to figure it out. That's not what God asks us to do, right? In his word, God doesn't tell us to think real hard on stuff and piece it all together. He tells us to trust in him and to pray, right? To trust in him and to pray. So it's not about our ability, but it's about our humility, right? Going to God and saying, "I don't know the answer, but you do. You have the perfect solution. Just show me what it is." 2 Kings 6, verse 13. So the context of this section, we're not going to read all the lead up, but the Syrians army, the Syrian army is attacking Israel, and every time they try to attack Israel, God is showing Elisha where they're going to be, right? They're like, oh, we're going to sneak attack them over here, and then God's like, they're going to be over there. And then Israel gets out of the way. And then they're like, let's sneak attack them over here. And God's like, they're going to be over there. And they start to figure out or believe that there might be a spy in their ranks because the Israelites are always a step ahead. But they tell him, the advisors tell the king of Syria, no, it's this guy Elisha. God is telling him where you're going to be each time. And so instead of attacking Israel, he decides to send his army to get one man, Elisha. If I can take care of Elisha, then I can get to the army. So that's the context. In verse 13 it said, and he said, go and spy where he, Elisha, is, that I may say and send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he, the king of Syria, thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. They surrounded the city. They surrounded Dothan because Elijah was there. Elisha was there, right? And it's like all the tanks, right? That's what horses and chariots were back then. They were like tanks. They were the big, you know, big militia that came in. So they surround this whole place to get one guy. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, which means he got up early to go use the bathroom. That's what he did. His bladder was full in the morning. He went outside the city to go take care of it. Behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. So you can imagine getting up in the morning to go relieve yourself and suddenly you find yourself surrounded. And a servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And Elisha answered, we should be really scared because there's a huge army out there. Holy smokes! No, but those were the facts. The facts were they were surrounded. But he answered and said, fear not, because this is the truth. For they that be with us, you and me, the two of us, are more than they that be with them, that giant army outside. Right? Because he knew the truth was that God had their back, regardless of the size of the army. And Elisha did something. He prayed. Elisha prayed. What is the solution? I am surrounded by a giant army. What is the solution? Well, he asked God. He didn't try to figure it out. He didn't say, okay, how can I possibly escape? What underground tunnel can I get to? How can I sneak through the middle of their forces? He just prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, meaning his servant's eyes, that he may see. Show him the thing that I'm seeing, right? Obviously, the servant's eyes were physically opened. He could see the army. He was quite nervous about that. But he said, open eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw the spiritual truth. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So surrounding their army was another army, right? Chariots of fire even. Bum, 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 bum. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So again, Elisha prays, and God has a solution. Now all the army is blind, which is great, because now they can't attack him because they're blind. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. Hello, army folk. This isn't the way here. You are mistaken. This is not the city that you want. You know, Jedi mind tricks. These are not the... Yeah, all right. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. You know, I know you're looking for somebody, but it's not me. Let me show you where that guy is. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And this truly was opening their eyes, because they were blind. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. So that's not where they were before. They were in Dothan. Elisha leads them into the middle of another great city, Samaria, where they were then surrounded. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He was all excited, right? Let me at him. Can I kill them all now? They're right here for me. Thank you. Again, that's a pretty good situation to have your enemy in, completely surrounded and at your mercy. Why not just wipe them out? Right? That would be a good factual solution. However, that's not what happened. Verse 22, and he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Right? If you were the ones who had actually captured these people, would you just go around slaughtering them now that they're, you know, disarmed and everything? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go home. Go to their master. No, instead of just murdering all of them right here, let's feed them and give them some drink and send them back home. That doesn't seem like a really logical or factual solution to this problem, right? Feed them and then let your enemies go. But that's what he told them to do, because that's what God told him to do. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands or the army of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Well, that's a solution, isn't it? Now, he could have wiped them all out, and then Syria probably would have gotten very mad and amassed more troops and went to seek out revenge or whatever. But instead, he sends the army home, fed and happy, and they don't bother him anymore, right? And in the end, isn't that what they wanted? To not be bothered by Syria anymore, right? That's the spiritual view, right? So we don't look at the odds, right? The odds were very much against Elisha. It was 2 to a great army. But we look to God, because as Elisha said, greater is he that is with us than all of these people, right? Just like it is today, it's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We'll close in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Right? So the solution is to pray. Go to God with reverence, with respect. That's the heart that we want to have when we go to God. And then ask him what he wants us to do. What's the solution? Thy will be done. You tell me what to do, God. And if you are expecting an answer, God will give you one. Right? God will give you. And his answer is always the best one. How can I get water? Well, just smash this rock and water will come out. Does it get any easier? No. What do I do? I'm surrounded by an army. Okay, well, I'll blind them and then lead them into camp and then, you know, they'll never bother you again. Right? Nobody had to fight. Nobody even had to lift a finger. Right? The solution is always the best one. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Right? And that's what we try to do sometimes. Figure it out ourselves. Or come up with a solution that God could do. Right? Well, God, do you think you could do this? Right? No. We don't have to trust our own understanding. We trust in God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Just like he told us in manifestations tonight, right? He's going to direct our paths. We go to God, we trust in him, we ask him, and he gives us the perfect solution.